everybody, and welcome to episode 147 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by the man who thinks the definition of a bad day is when his craft beer is delivered late, not when you kill eight innocent people in cold blood. That's right, it's Brian once again. How are you this week, my friend?
Doing all right, Ron. In the grand scheme of things, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. I feel like we are pulling out of this pandemic. I'm not afraid of what's going on in Europe with the variants. I'm not afraid of what's going on in Brazil with just a utter shit show. I feel America is, we're on the path to success.
Okay. You're feeling good. I like that. I like when you bring positive energy to the show and to the universe.
PMA every day.
All right. Are we ready to get things rolling here with some drinking? All right.
Oh, yeah.
Time for Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the Week. Sláinte.
Prost. Drink of the Week. Drink of the week.
And Brian, what did you bring this week for your beverage of choice?
I'm starting off with Sarka.
Sarka.
S-A-R-K, which for people that know their Greek mythology, they will understand the significance of Sarka in relation to fine beer. It's an inside joke for those of us that know Greek mythology. So if you know, you know. Anywho, Sarka is coming from our dear friends at Jackalope Brewing Company in Nashville, Tennessee. I took a sip earlier before the show, and I would describe this as a classic example of an American Czech Pilsner. The beautiful golden yellow color is inviting in itself, but it's completed with a balanced blend of sweet biscuity malt and noble hops. Oh. This beer is enjoyed best on the patio with good friends, named for a legendary Czech princess and Greek goddess who used her wits in the Maiden's War of the 12th century. Coming in at 4.8 per ABV, Sarka from Jackalope Brewing.
All right, take a sip there. Very impressive looking. Even more impressive, the fact that you passed up the opportunity to tell a long story about the legend of Sarka. So kudos to you, my friend. It's a good, good start to the week. How is it?
Don't start the episode by being mean. I'm going to get enough shit from the chat of things that are just going to be insulting to me. I can already see Janelle's just typing away furiously, ready to rip me a new one. I don't need it coming from you.
All right, that's great. I apologize.
It's a dry Pilsner. I may need to do a shot.
All right. So this week, I bring back Terramana. Last week, I did the Blanco tequila. This week is the Reposado. As you remember, wasn't too keen on the Blanco drinking it straight, but we're going to try the Reposado straight on ice this week. Let's give it a sip.
So can you really be straight on ice?
Now, that's good. Yes. The Reposado, I'm going on ice. Does not need a mixer. Very good. Probably be a good little shooting tequila, too.
When you are done taking that sip, I want you to walk me through what makes this a good sipping tequila.
It doesn't have a lot of bite to it. It's got a very nice, almost light caramely flavor to it. Very smooth finish. Just tastes good going all the way down.
Now I'm a little turned on. Sorry.
That's what I try and do each and every week. All right. Anything else to say about your beer, Brian, or are we ready to head into our least favorite portion of the show, but one that we just continue to do?
Beef of the week?
No, this week in racism.
This week
in
racism.
And as usual, way too much racism. But let's get right into it. Let's start off down in San Antonio, Texas. A ramen noodle shop was vandalized just days after its owner spoke out against Governor Greg Abbott's decision to end the state's mask mandate in an interview with CNN. Noodle Tree Restaurant was found with red paint graffiti Sunday afternoon with racist messages painted on the windows and a table outside that said no mask, Ramen Noodle Flu, and Kung Flu. The restaurant was scheduled to reopen earlier today, despite the owner continuing to receive threats to burn down his home and business. Up in New York City there by you, Brian, a woman accused of telling an Asian American couple in Manhattan to go back to China has been identified as the daughter of late New York Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan. Maura Moynihan admitted that she was the woman captured on camera arguing with Dan Lee during a confrontation at First Avenue and East 22nd Street last Sunday. Lee's wife, Maria Ha, said that the heated exchange kicked off when Moynihan randomly told her to go back to China. Quote, she said, go back to fucking China, Lee can be heard on video. Say that racist shit again. You said communist China? Moynihan replies in the video, well, isn't that where you're from? Moynihan, while admitting being the woman in the video, denied that she made racist remarks. Police say they are investigating the incident.
So are we saying that that video is a deep fake?
I think she's saying the stuff. A lot of it was set off video, what the couple is alleging. So I think Maura is saying what the couple said, she did not in fact say.
Goes back to something I've been saying since episode 5. Everybody, mandatory body cameras at all times, except in the bedroom. So in effect, we would have a record of all of these events. We would not be able to watch you and your wife make sweet love. However, the camera I have planted in your bedroom still would work.
All right, fantastic. In Southington, Connecticut, Gwen Samuel, president and founder of the Connecticut Parents Union, went into a TD Bank branch to withdraw $1,000 to pay a photographer for an event her organization was holding. Despite Samuel presenting her TD Bank card and driver's license and having the money in her account, her teller denied the withdrawal, saying, quote, I don't feel comfortable giving you the money. When this story started to go viral, TD Bank issued a statement saying security concerns were the reason the teller had not given Samuel the money. However, that doesn't account for the fact that after the withdrawal was denied, Samuel was able to take out some of the money from the ATM in the branch lobby before going to another TD Bank branch where a teller processed her withdrawal for the remainder of the money. Samuel has filed a complaint with the Federal Reserve and the Banking Committee of the Connecticut State Legislature.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's similar to a story we had probably about a year ago, and I remember being outraged that something like that could happen then.
Are you more outraged or less outraged now?
Honestly, I'm so numb to all of this. it's definitely saddened. I mean, it's sobering to think that, you know, in today's day and age that all this stuff is happening. I mean, like, all these stories that you do are true. They're taken from the news, but it's just like, I mean, it's just, it's to me, how do you sit there with someone who can show that this is their bank account and not give them the money?
Well, this next story isn't going to make you feel any better, Brian. We have told numerous stories over the past few months about Louisiana and their issues with racism and their police and troopers. Now we are seeing that state troopers joked in a group text about beating a black man after a high-speed chase in May of 2020. Trooper Jacob Brown, who was charged in the beating of 29-year-old Antonio Harris, resigned on March 10th. Although Harris immediately surrendered at the end of the chase, the responding officers went on to use an excessive amount of force. According to reports, Harris laid face down on the ground and extended his arms away from his body and his legs spread apart and was approached by Trooper Dakota DeMoss, who delivered a knee strike and slapped him before shutting off his body camera. Louisiana State Police investigation found that Harris did not resist arrest at any time, even as Trooper George Harper struck him several times with a flashlight while Brown pulled his hair. The troopers produced false reports about the incident and said Harris resisted arrest and tried to flee. The troopers also tried to cover up the fact that there was body camera footage of the beating. Both DeMoss and Harper have also been charged over the assault, and Brown also faces charges in connection with two other arrests on matters related to the use of force. Brian, I will just let you guess what the skin color is in both of those other instances as well.
Do we need to?
No, you don't need to guess. You'd already. Fuck. All right. In San Marcos, Texas, a black mother has filed 2 complaints with a local school district after her daughter's teacher allegedly told white classmates that they could use the N-word. Tasha Fennell said that her daughter, Azaria, heard a male student interrupt her class in Doris Miller Junior High School by opening the door and saying, what's up, my N-word? When another male pupil told the student that he couldn't say the N-word, the teacher allegedly responded, quote, if black people can say it, then white people can say it too. The school district initially responded by inquiring whether the incident actually happened or not. The district eventually apologized, agreed to provide additional training for school staff members, and also promised to conduct an investigation. And additionally, the San Marcos school superintendent asked Azaria Fennell to serve on a monthly leadership council to discuss her concerns, and Tasha Fennell has been asked to serve on a diversity council that will launch in August. Probably the worst story of the week comes to us out of Oklahoma, where a high school basketball announcer was caught on a hot mic using the N-word to refer to a team that took a knee during the national anthem. Matt Rowan uttered the racial slur twice as the Star Spangled Banner played over a loudspeaker before the Norman High School girls team faced off against Midwest City in a playoff game. Quote, they're kneeling? Fucking N-words. I hope Norman gets their ass kicked. Fuck them. I hope they lose. They're going to kneel like that, Rowan said as the entire Norman squad took a knee. He later blamed the comments on a medical condition. Quote, I will state that I suffer type 1 diabetes, and during the game, my sugar was spiking, Rowan said in a statement. While not excusing my remarks, it is not unusual when my sugar spikes that I become disoriented and often say things that are not appropriate as well as hurtful. I do not believe that I would have made such horrible statements absent my sugar spiking. The Norman Tigers went on to complete a perfect season and won Oklahoma's 6A state championship. Brian, you look like you had a thought on this story.
I was going to ask whether you have the video of that lined up.
Unfortunately, is not great, so I did not pull that.
That was what I was trying to get to, because I listened.
That was your problem, huh? Sorry. But you have said, do get the proper audio.
I listened to it several times and I could not make out the N-word that this guy was saying. I mean, the quality of it is incredibly poor, that I was surprised that there was such a rush to translation on what was said, because I could not hear it. And obviously, my hearing, you know, when I hear the N-word, automatically it mutes the N-word. My ears cannot hear that word. It's so traumatizing me. Reminds me of growing up on the streets of Queens. The trauma, the PTSD.
Right.
Okay. I could not hear the words that they were talking about on that videotape. So I was surprised that warranted our worst racist of,
the guy did admit to using the word. I mean, it's not like we just have the audio to go off of. But have you ever known a diabetic to just randomly yell racist phrases because their sugar was spiking? That to me seems a little, I don't know.
I know people who have diabetes who carry snacks with them.
Right. I mean, that just makes sense. You bring like a Tootsie Roll or, you know, a piece of gum, something, you know, get that blood sugar up.
Yeah.
Maybe this guy will do that moving forward. What he will not be doing is apparently announcing any more high school basketball games, as he has obviously been banned by the Oklahoma State Basketball Association.
Good. Fuck him. Yeah. Fuck him.
All right. And we do have a couple of stories in the Rewind.
Racism Rewind.
A couple of follow-ups from a couple of stories last week. First, Alexi McCammond, who was scheduled to start as the editor-in-chief at Teen Vogue next Wednesday, has resigned from the job. As we discussed last week, she had been called out by Teen Vogue staff members over racist and homophobic tweets she posted a decade ago. The resignation came about after pressure from the publication staff, readers, and at least 2 advertisers. And then secondly, Georgetown law professor Sandra Sellers was fired over disparaging comments she made about black students on a Zoom call with a colleague. We talked about this last week as well. Sellers initially intended to resign, but the university terminated her prior to her submitting her resignation. David Batson, the other professor on the call with Sellers, is still on administrative leave while the university continues its investigation.
Good for them.
Now, question for you, because this question is being asked a lot now that Alexi has resigned her position at Teen Vogue. Should someone have tweets from 10 years ago, especially when they were in high school, 17, 18 years old, should they be held against them?
I don't feel that as a cis white male that I should be in a position to answer that question. I believe that I should take a step out of the dialogue and just listen. I should hear the people who are offended by those tweets. I should listen to the people that are defending, the people who have a dog in the fight, for lack of a more culturally acceptable euphemism.
All right.
I mean, to me, it just feels, you know, listen, we all said some stupid thing 10 years ago. I mean, I said I do.
Hey-o!
Oh! All joking aside. No, I mean, like, I think if you call through anybody's past, you're going to come up with some embarrassing, stupid things, regrettable things, things that, could be literally ugly and awful. The question is, where do you draw the line between this is the person they are now versus the past? And, you know, like, where does cancel culture, where is it no longer appropriate?
All right. Wise words. You went from being woke to just throwing every other culture under the bus. That's why
I said in the beginning, I don't feel like I should be in a position to even answer that. Because, okay, let's just spit it. Ron, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, Brian, I heard a wise man once say that it's not up to me as a cis white male to really be able to sit in someone else's seat.
You're an ass.
Dog in the fight and whatnot. Mm-hmm. All right.
Ass.
It's Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, besides me busting your balls, what's your Beef of the Week?
We're going to start off with the Atlas Coffee Club.
Really? What is the Atlas Coffee Club?
It is a subscription service online that provides you with a different type of coffee from a different part of the world on whatever frequency you're looking for. You can do it once a month. You could do it weekly. You could do it biweekly. A friend of mine signed up for it, recommended it, said that they had just signed up for it. I thought it'd be something nice where we were each getting the same package so we could compare the notes of our coffee after we had received it and brewed it. And I have received three packages. It is a 12-ounce bag for $19, which includes shipping and handling.
19 pricey. Bag?
What?
19 per bag or all three bags for 19?
No. 19 per bag.
That is a little pricey, yes.
And it sucks.
The coffee sucks?
I started off at a medium roast,
okay,
and it was weak. I went to a dark medium, weak. The third one, I went dark, weak. So I am canceling my subscription to the Atlas Coffee Club, and I am going to be ordering a 5-pound bag of La Colombe coffee from Amazon. What I will ask from you, if you're not comfortable, we can do this off show, is I noticed that La Colombe has four different types of coffee, and I wanted to get an idea of which was the one that you served me when you and your wife opened up your home and welcomed me in as a guest.
I have to look. They actually have about 18 different varieties, so maybe you're only seeing four on Amazon. but I will have to look at the box that I broke open the last time you were down. And
if you could, I would appreciate that, because I remember saying to myself, "Now that's a good cup of coffee."
And that was a medium roast. I think their dark roast is very bitey. So I generally stick with the medium.
And that's my thing. That's why I avoid Starbucks, because I find their dark roast to be, so overly roasted. It's almost has a burnt like quality. I really enjoyed what you had. So I want to try to see if I can get that also.
All right.
Ron,
put that up for you.
Ron.
Yeah.
What's bothering you?
So this week, and again, this is a repeat from about a year ago, right around this time. My beef is with the Trump tax plan, which we are still living under now that 2020 has ended. I will remind you yet again that the Trump plan, 64% of that benefited the top, 5% wealthiest people in the country. But I must remind you, because if I don't, Billy certainly will, that I was unemployed for a major portion of 2020, 9 months of 2020 to be exact. So you would think, taxes would be less. And yet we are still paying a substantial amount of taxes at the end of the year this year.
But hold on a second. You did not, were you paying income tax on the unemployment that you were receiving?
Well, you do, but you are only able to pay 10%. So you're not able to have extra taken out for unemployment to cover that.
So then shouldn't you? So I'm confused, because I would imagine that you would be expecting to owe significantly, because a bulk of your income from 2020 was undertaxed.
You would expect it to go down, but you would also expect your taxes to go down a similar percentage that your salary went down. And it was nowhere near equitable.
Now, is that because your lovely wife, who I consider a friend, is that because she was making so much more? Like during the pandemic, her services, her skill set became highly desired, while yours became literally something you would put in the bottom of a trash can?
I will say even her income for last year was a little bit lower due to her changing jobs.
Got it.
So I was very salty about that. I would also say, I know this is in the new COVID Relief Act, but making people pay tax on their unemployment benefits just seems like a shitty thing in general.
I think the whole idea of you having to figure out what your taxes are is a shitty thing.
Well, that's true. I mean, the government already knows what your taxes are.
Why don't they just send me a bill?
Tell us what you feel you should owe.
And then if you're wrong, we're going to penalize you for it.
And then I will say I did use H&R Block online. Very intuitive little website there. So hopefully,
I've been using their software for years.
I was very impressed. I'm still waiting for the pro, quote unquote pro, to check everything over and get back to me. But I'm also happy that they're now, I guess, pushing tax day into mid-May, it looks like.
So did you owe money?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I know why you're salty. This has nothing to do with unemployment or whatnot. You thought you were going to get money back.
No. I never thought. I knew I was going to pay. I just didn't think that my tax bill would be as close to last year as it is this year.
Okay, and
I feel thankful that we have the ability to pay the tax bill. And there are certainly a number of people out there that are not in that same situation. So it's just, it just seems fucked up altogether.
Listen, we know that, you 2020 was a year of shame for you, but it wasn't necessarily a year of pain for you. You were, you never went hungry. You had a roof over your head.
True.
And I think the worst thing that happened in 2020 was you getting kicked out of your office.
That did hurt. That did hurt. It still hurts. And I every time we bring it up, it makes me die a little bit more inside. So thank you for that.
Sorry. All right. Can I?
What about this week?
I would actually like, if you do not mind, there's something that I would like to address. I said some things last week. Now, There are times when you, when one as an adult speaks, they say things that at the time make sense, that at the time represent what you're feeling. And then in hindsight, when shown, you know, the words that you used, you realize that you've made a terrible mistake. And I would actually like to apologize, Ron.
Okay. What would you like to apologize for?
I have a prepared statement. If you allow me, I would like to read my prepared statement.
All right, I will. The floor is yours.
This has been vetted by my agent, my manager, and my accountant. So I'll go right into it. I want to apologize to every member of the Ron and Brian organization, especially our family, friends, and to our fans. There is no excuse for my behavior and words last week, and I take full responsibility for my terrible lapse in judgment. My comments were my own. They do not reflect the views and strategy of the Ron and Brian podcast leadership, who are responsible for decisions about all levels of the organization. I've been on the phone most of the day today apologizing to the many people I insulted last week, the people I hurt, the people I disappointed in speaking at a recent podcast from last week. I am committed to making amends for the things I said that were personally hurtful, and I will do whatever it takes to repair the damage that I caused to the Ron and Brian organization. Thank you for letting me say that, Ron.
All right, well said. And a teachable moment, let's hope, moving forward. Now that we've gotten that ugliness out of the way, we got a lot on the agenda. What would you like to start with, Brian?
I was having a bad day last week, and I said some terrible things, but apparently I'm not the only one in America who's had some bad days.
Such as? Great. The guy who decided to shoot up a bunch of people at 3 Metro Atlanta spas. So 8 people killed in shootings. The gentleman's name, Robert Aaron.
No. Do not say his name.
All right.
He is unworthy.
Or the suspect.
Why don't you call him the domestic terrorist?
The domestic white
male terrorist.
All right. Fair enough. Asian Atlanta spas. Now, you know, the rhetoric or the talking points that are coming out is that he did this because of, what did they say? Sexual urges, sexual desires, that he had a porn addiction. I mean, there's been a lot of excuses to cover up the fact that this was one of just numerous hate crimes against Asian Americans that have spiked in this country since the pandemic began. Would you argue?
I would say that we should focus on what this guy did.
Okay.
And not, I would not, if what he did was commit hate crimes and target the Asian community, then let's not water it down by talking about other acts of hate against the Asians. If we want to have a larger conversation about acts of hate towards the Asians, absolutely, it should be done. But this guy, I think, I don't think that we need to tag him along with other acts of criminal behavior. This guy deserves to have his balls dipped in candle wax and then set ablaze.
And as you said, he was somewhat defended by Cherokee County Sheriff's Office Captain Jay Baker on Wednesday, who made the comment, quote, he was pretty much fed up and kind of at the end of his rope. Yesterday was a really bad day for him, and this is what he did, prompting a significant amount of internet outrage. And then, of course, that's when the internet does its best work. Internet sleuths and journalists found Baker's Facebook post promoting shirts that called the novel coronavirus and, quote, imported virus from China. So he is no longer the spokesperson for this case, Brian. This may shock you.
I that's not even the shocking part. I guess maybe we're talking about the same thing. The shocking part is that he would, in a press conference, take such a lackadaisical attitude towards a mass shooter, towards somebody who drove around for hours shooting up massage parlors,
right,
killing 8 people, injuring a few others. This is not something that you just speak, you know, as a happenstance of, well, you know, he was at the end of his rope and this is what he did. You know, I say that if I, like, you know, punch a hole in the drywall, as you know, I'm fond to do after I have a couple Monster Energy drinks and watch NASCAR.
Now, I think another thing that was proven also is that there are instances where the police are able to arrest an individual that has shot and murdered people versus gunning them down in their car. Sorry, am I too much of a hot button issue? You don't want to have to issue an apology again next week, Brian?
Well, no, I just want to make sure you don't have to issue an apology next week. Yeah, I mean, you know, the cops were patting themselves on the back for, you know, the way they were able to take down the guy's vehicle without incident and whatnot. Certainly could have gone a different way under different circumstances. What I don't understand is, and obviously it's, you know, the wounds are still very fresh. You know, the story hasn't come out, but how does having a sex addiction or a porn addiction lead you to a path of, I'm going to go shoot up massage parlors, and then when I'm done with the first one, I'm going to go drive to another one and shoot that one up. And then when I'm done with that one, I'm going to drive to a third one. I'm going to shoot that one up. And then I'm going to drive to Florida.
Well, there's a lot being kicked around. I don't think anything's been substantiated yet about that he possibly could have gone to these spas before. But, you know, it's also interesting to note that, you know, he shoots up a spa, drives 30 minutes away to Atlanta, shoot up two more spas, passing, as people tracked his route, passing strip clubs, adult bookstores, you know, places of that nature. So if it really was an issue where he felt the need, because he has these urges and felt the need to strike out against, you know, sex workers or things like that, why bypass all of these other businesses and focus your anger only on these businesses that were staffed by Asians and Asian Americans?
I did not know that.
You did not? Well,
I had not heard that he had driven by strip clubs or whatnot. Maybe he went inside the strip club and spent $900.
It's very possible. Which, I mean, you would then understand his anger.
You know, you do that once. But it's just the part that really is heartbreaking to me is that despite, you know, an incident like this, there's going to be absolutely no dialogue about gun control.
No. I mean, there's no waiting period in Georgia. One of the long guns that he was arrested with, he had literally purchased that day and was able to get the gun that day. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't know.
Gun
control thing just is a
even if you want to sit there and say that this isn't about gun control, this is about mental health. This isn't a gun problem we have. It's a mental health problem. It's the fact that the people that are refusing to have the talk about the gun problem are also refusing to have the talk about mental health.
Right.
You know, they're
unwilling to have the discussion about just universal health care in general.
There is absolutely something off about someone who has mentally justified shooting three different massage parlors and killing as many people as he can get his hands on. There's something mentally wrong with this person. The fact that we're not allowed to sit there and say, well, then what can we do to start addressing mental health in this country so that people who do have access to guns aren't finding themselves in a position where they're justifying themselves committing mass shootings. We're not even allowed to broach that subject as a society. That really is my fucking beef of the week. It's the fucking gun lovers and the NRA and the Republicans who refuse to do anything about what's going on in the country. Sorry. Right. Had to get that off my chest. And also, I will say that I do know people who are gun owners and who are responsible about it.
Right. So I know people that own guns that are responsible, that I feel comfortable with them owning their guns. So it's not a matter of that.
I'm packing a gun right now between my legs. But like, so it's not all gun owners are the problem. The problem is the fact that we're not allowed to have a dialogue of how do we keep how do we keep weapons out of the hands of people that should not be having them?
Well, we will continue to ask that question, as I'm sure nothing will continue to be done about it.
Okay.
Brian, the only thing more dangerous than a 21-year-old redneck with a porn addiction and a beard that would make an Amish man jealous is potentially the AstraZeneca vaccine. We are seeing reports that a 60-year-old Danish woman who received the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine had highly unusual symptoms before dying of a blood clot. I believe there was also 4 people in Italy that have passed away from the vaccine as well. However, even though it has been pulled in a number of European countries, CDC, WHO, very quick to point out that the percentages of deaths in these countries from things like blood clots and things like that falls within a case where it could have just been a natural occurrence, a coincidence, perhaps.
Less than a fraction of a percentage.
Right.
You know, like it's not something that's happening to 20% of all the people who are getting the AstraZeneca. I do find it interesting that in America, the AstraZeneca has not yet been approved. We are sitting on a inventory of millions of doses of AstraZeneca, and it has not gotten in front of the... Hold up. I want to say FTC, but that's not it. Nope. It's not the CDC.
Nope. It starts with an F. Your F, 3 letters. Your
B F F TLNC.
It's the FDA, right?
What FDA? Yeah, FDA. Oh, I'm so stupid. What I find interesting is that this is almost the universal vaccine that's out there in Europe. And we haven't even decided to decide whether it's something that we are going to give Americans. However, coincidentally, I don't know if you saw this article, but earlier today, the Biden administration announced that they were going to be donating a large amount of our inventory of the AstraZeneca to Mexico and Canada to help them vaccinate their people.
I'm not donating. It's a loan, Brian. They do apparently expect to get them back once production catches up. So not just loaning.
I don't think we want it back based on the blood clots.
But what's interesting to me, we were talking about comparisons about the gun control thing. What is very interesting to me is you're seeing a bunch of people on the right pointing to this AstraZeneca story about, you know, vaccines being dangerous because literally 0.01% are dying from this vaccine. And they're saying this vaccine shouldn't be out there and this vaccine's bad. But they're also these are the same people that were like, well, you know, a 1% death rate for COVID is fine.
Less than 1%.
Right. So why is a less than 1% death rate for the actual COVID not a problem, but a significantly lower mortality rate for the vaccine a problem?
Because we live in a day and age where people have their preconceived notions and beliefs and then cherry pick information that's in front of them, seizing upon the bits of information that fall in line with what they already believed before sitting down at the table. If one person out of a billion dies, the Republicans will sit there and say, I'm not getting the vaccine. It's unhealthy. I don't trust it. Without any info, just because they'll point to this one case, the outlier, it's depressing, and I would like to say that I don't think we've ever lived in such a disruptive time, but who am I to say? It's possible America was worse before.
It's hard to say. We weren't alive, and there wasn't enough internet available back when we were younger. I have a feeling we've just always been fucked up as a country, and we were able to keep it quieter because information wasn't as easily disseminated.
That's possible. I mean, I saw Fauci was giving a testimony in Congress this week, and Rand Paul or Ron Paul, which was the one in Congress, Rand Paul was just arguing about how people with natural immunity now because they've had COVID, shouldn't be wearing masks. And he was referring to masks as theater, that it's all just theater.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rand is an eye doctor, so he must know all about...
He's arguing, saying that he knows more about science than Fauci.
Right.
And I'm not saying that Fauci is perfect. I'm just saying that Fauci knows way more about this shit than fucking Rand Paul.
You would think so.
By the way, didn't he get his ass kicked by his neighbor a couple years ago?
He did. And you can really understand
bitch.
What happened. Did I tell you the second shot, Ryan?
How'd it go?
Went fine. Went over because my wife had her first shot scheduled in the morning, and I was actually scheduled for my second shot in the afternoon. But I was like, hey, I'm here. Can you sneak me in? They were like, we got you covered. So got in there, got the second shot of Moderna. Feeling good now.
Episode 146, Moderna, the gold standard.
The gold standard.
How do you feel? Any side effects?
The second shot definitely felt a lot more fatigue, achy, arm hurt a lot more during the second shot, but did not get a lot of the symptoms that some other people were saying that they had after the second shot of Moderna. So,
are you calling me a little bitch?
Well, no, you haven't had any of the shots, Brian, remember?
You're right. I have not had any shots whatsoever. You are correct.
So by next Saturday, I will be bulletproof.
So does that mean we can now make out?
Yeah. Ollie, you can even give me a reach around if you'd like.
I would like to do a rusty trombone on you.
All right. I think let's get the 2 weeks under our belt, make sure I'm fully vaccinated, and then we'll go to town.
Okay.
Should we let our people know of the new segment due to popular demand that we're going to be rolling out on a weekly basis?
People demanded it. People kept pushing. You and I didn't want to do it. This is an original bit. This is not something that other people are not doing. This is something other people are doing. But yeah, I go for it, Ron.
All right. It is time for Florida stories because so many things seem to happen in Florida that catch our eye. And normally we save them for the Patreon, but now we're going to bundle up as many of them as we can and put them into the main podcast. Let's start off. This is probably our tamest one of the week. So let's start off with the assistant principal in Florida arrested for rigging a homecoming queen election. So the woman, her name is Laura Rose Carroll. Apparently, she is mother to Emily Rose Grover, who was really, really hell-bent on winning the homecoming crown. The mom apparently was able to breach online student accounts and cast nearly 250 bogus votes for her daughter. The high school drama was first exposed about a month after the October election when school officials discovered the accounts had been hacked, contacted authorities, after which investigators soon found that 117 votes originated from the same IP address.
Florida!
the mom and daughter were each hit with several charges, including unlawful use of a two-way communications device and criminal use of personally identifiable information. Carol was being held in lieu of $8,500 bond, and the daughter also in custody at the Escambia Regional Juvenile Detention Center.
Wait a second. Hold up. First off, they're both in jail?
Well, one's in jail, one's in juvie.
Okay, second of all, you're telling me that they couldn't pull together $850 and bail out their mom?
I mean, maybe they just want to let her sit there, learn her lesson.
Wow, you're telling me they didn't have $850. And keep in mind, I know times are tough. People are hurting.
The teaching profession is notoriously underpaid.
But aren't they getting their stimmy money?
I mean, this was before the check went out, so maybe now she'll be able to make it. I don't know. The next Florida story, a pantless Florida man was arrested this week after police spotted him pleasuring himself with a pickle while on a private premises. Responding to a suspicious person call around 4 p.m., a cop saw Eric DeTige, age 47, lying on his back in front of a townhouse in Oldsmar in the Tampa Bay area. DeTige, unencumbered by pants or underwear, had his penis in one hand and a large uneaten pickle in his other hand, and he was using the pickle to penetrate his rectum while he was masturbating. Now, that apparently is not
a thing?
It's not as heinous a crime as rigging a homecoming queen election, because he was only arrested on a misdemeanor charge of exposure of sexual organs. His bond, $150.
Was he able to pull $15 to bail himself out?
He apparently is still being held in the Pinellas County Jail in lieu of that $150 bond.
I mean, that's a, the question really is whether it's worth it. His photo is now on the internet. You do a Google search for him, that's the number one hit.
Yep. DeTige, whose address is listed as the Flying Cloud Mobile Home Park in Tampa, has prior convictions for theft, disorderly conduct, resisting police, and criminal mischief. Jail records note that he has "Only God Can Judge Me" tattooed in his arm. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say we're all judging him right now.
There's a jury out there with his that's going to be judging him very, very soon.
Yes. Our final Florida story of the week is about
Florida,
which is about the Florida man who allegedly pulled a pair of severed human ears out of his pants pocket while being questioned in his grandfather's murder.
Now, coincidentally, his grandfather had had his ears sliced off.
So this is Colby Parker, age 30, was accused of fatally stabbing his 77-year-old grandfather, Ronald Wells Sr., last Saturday evening inside the Lake County home they shared. Parker initially told investigators that he acted in self-defense, saying that his grandfather attacked him with a knife during a fight the two had while smoking marijuana. He claimed,
which is exactly what you want to do with your grandfather, is just smoke some dope with him.
It happens. He claimed he was forced to turn the knife on his grandfather, whose body was found on the front porch with multiple stab wounds. But while he was being interviewed in the case, Parker allegedly took his grandfather's ears out of his pants and then lunged at a deputy while trying to grab his gun and taser.
Now, at any time, was he dressed in a white shirt, black slacks, thin white tie, doing some dances as he was approaching his grandfather, who was tied up in a chair in an industrial warehouse?
He did not go full Reservoir Dogs on him, but apparently he did eventually confess that he wanted his grandfather to be with his deceased grandmother, and it was his time to go.
So how does that explain the fucking ears that are in your pockets?
Well, it doesn't. Apparently, he hit his grandfather multiple times in the head with a baseball bat before repeatedly stabbing him with a butcher knife and cutting off his ears.
Ron, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
If you had to kill somebody in an act of passion, so this is not something you have plotted.
Right.
How do I put it this way? Let me give you a scenario that would push you over the edge. Okay. You're home. You're in your home office. Your man cave, if you would. Your castle. Your wife announces that she is going to be working remotely, and she is now going to be ordering a desk to put inside of your office, which she will now need to use, and you will now need to work off of the dining room table. You are filled with rage. How do you believe, you lose control, you go to kill her. How do you do it?
See, I think I still go with the long game, where remain in a passive-aggressive relationship until one of us eventually dies.
You mean like you're doing right now with her?
Now, also, before you cut me off before we could really bring this Florida story home. In another gruesome detail, investigators said they found an apron in Parker's bedroom that had the phrase the family butcher printed on it, and plastic bloody human ears attached to it. Kids got some issues. Charged with second-degree murder, battery on a law enforcement officer, and resisting with violence. Him they're holding without bond. Probably a good idea.
Wow.
That is Florida Stories.
Florida.
Brian. Oh,
yeah.
Hold on. What are you watching?
Oh, I had a very productive week sitting in my chair watching television. We'll start off. I watched the final episode of Woody versus Mia on HBO Max. Basically was a collective, a summary, where are they now? Story of Mia and Woody's kids, Mia's kids, whatnot. No real new information I felt was really exposed. But it kind of was like it felt like an episode that was really just meant to kind of make you feel better as you were walking away, that a terrible thing happened. A terrible man has been punished, not in the legal way, but society has shunned him. And we can all feel a little bit better that Dylan is okay. Not really worthy of 4 hours. That should have been an hour and a half, 90-minute movie on HBO. Also, watch something called Kid 90. Heard about this?
That's the Soleil Moonfry documentary?
Yes. I don't know why I ended up watching it, considering the fact that I am the last thing I'm interested in is a woe is me story about a teenager growing up in Hollywood. But apparently I watched it for an hour or however long it was and was shocked to find out that it is a woe is me story of a teenager coming of age in Hollywood. Apparently she was on Punky Brewster. Mm-hmm. Apparently she developed into a woman at a very young age, 13. Nowadays, ain't that young.
But back in the day.
No, Ron, that's never okay to sit there and talk about 13-year-olds that way. Unless you're Charlie Sheen, apparently you can get away with a bunch of stuff. She's this young kid, gets an acting gig when she was 6 or 7 or 10. I don't remember. And she has surrounded herself with other child actors in Hollywood at the time. Fortunately for her and for America as a whole, she was videotaping her life at the time and has always done this. So this was a documentary of her going back home, going through her archives, and reliving her childhood. And it really was a piece of shit. no, because it really was a, you should feel bad for us because we didn't have a normal childhood. You know, we were getting rejected at the age of 8, told that we weren't cute enough, told that, you know, we weren't tall enough, that we had the wrong color hair, and, we couldn't hang out, and we never went to prom, and we didn't go to school, and we didn't have the childhood you had. Feel bad for us. But it's like all kids that age were being rejected in different ways. All those kids were being judged and having things said to them. Like, you still had a better childhood than I did growing up in the hardened streets of Queens, New York. I'm sorry. I just did not get the whole feel bad for me because I didn't have a normal childhood. Last but not least, I watched a movie that you had recommended to me, Nomadland. I believe... Yeah, I believe it was about a month ago during our regular recommendation station bit that we do. You recommended to me that we should watch, everybody should go out and watch Nomadland, starring Frances McDormand as a Amazon worker, an Amazon factory worker.
Amazon worker.
Who lives in her van voluntarily. Because she doesn't want to be tied down to living on a plot of land. And I don't know what you saw. I mean, I'd like you to defend the movie. Because I felt there was actually very little of a plot. The story, there was no arc. that didn't actually go anywhere. It really kind of felt like here's just a snapshot of somebody's existence, and we're just going to show you a bit of it, and then we're just going to end.
So, well, the story actually is that it's based initially in this town that I think had a drywall factory, something like that, that ended up...
They were making they made drywall. They went out of business.
Right. And so, and then her husband got sick and passed away and lost the home. So, you know, she had been living in her van, you know, working like a seasonal job at Amazon, but joining kind of this nomad lifestyle where people just literally live in their RVs and travel around. Right. And it was, you know, it was more a story of, you know, people really stripping down their lives and just keeping things as simple and as unencumbered as possible.
But that's not true. Their lives were incredibly complicated.
Well, it's still complicated from an emotional standpoint, but not complicated as far as, you know, you need to have this huge house and you need to have, you know, electronic toys and everything else.
You need to have working tires. And if your car breaks yeah. down, your home is fucked and you can't get from point A to point B. You're you don't have a base of savings. So you're literally going dollar for dollar week by week. Her life was way more complicated than mine.
Listen, I'm not saying, you know, right, you're right or wrong. I'm just, you know,
I'm saying, Ron, is that you recommended this movie to me and you pointed me in the wrong direction. I will think twice before accepting a Ron movie pick of the week.
Listen, I will say this. It's not for everybody. It was a very slow paced movie. But I picture you as someone who says that they love the, film in general, and it was a beautifully shot film. I think it was very well done. Again, it's not going to be for everybody. It's not going to listen. I know, like, you're a big Fast and the Furious guy. Like, I know those are like your favorite movies of all.
Yes, time. Listen, a so lot of people maybe mock them.
Wasn't you know there was no Vin Diesel, there was no Dwayne the Rock Johnson. I get that.
Paul Anderson, Cooper. You like, one of my favorite
you like
actors.
Oiled up muscular men in your movies, and this did not have that.
Driving fast cars, police chases. I believe in the last couple ones, there were missiles. I believe somehow a bunch of people that were driving cars suddenly got involved in missiles that were being launched, like big explosions, chase scenes. You know, that's right up my alley.
I mean, is that why you haven't watched my latest TV recommendation?
I wanted to finish what I was in the middle of.
All right. Well, this week, past week, I started watching Counterpart.
Ron?
Yes.
Ron?
Sorry.
What are you watching?
Oh, well, this past week, Brian, I started watching on Amazon Prime a show called Counterpart. This is actually back on, aired a couple of years back on the Starz network. And I don't think anyone subscribes to Starz. I'm not quite sure.
Still exist?
Apparently. But now it's on Amazon Prime, so I can watch it for free. It stars J.K. Simmons, character actor, you recognize from the Farmers Insurance commercials.
Not to be confused with J.K. Rowling, who is the Harry Potter author who hates transgendered, so she can go fuck herself.
There you go. So basically, the premise of Counterpart is it's a science fiction. There was some sort of experiment that caused an accident in Germany back in the late 80s, which caused Earth to replicate itself in two different universes, I guess. And so people can now, most of the world is not aware of this, but there is an agency that keeps track of this gateway that leads between the two worlds. And J.K. Simmons ends up meeting his counterpart. So he plays two roles, obviously. And it's a whole conspiracy theory, you know, clandestine spy type thing. I'm like 8 episodes into the first season and it's decent. It's a good film. And J.K. Simmons is just a great actor, personally.
How does this compare to the episode of Star Trek where we discovered that there was an alternate universe and we were introduced to evil Spock?
No goatees in this one. So I always give shows with a goatee a higher rating.
Okay. What else are you watching? Or is that really it?
That's about it. And still watching that Apple TV show For All Mankind. Caught up now. So now I got to wait a week for an episode. And Servant, still watching that. Still, that's getting, I think, the last episode's this week. So they need to just...
Is that the M. Night Shyamalan?
That is the one. So okay. Hopefully the season finale will be good.
You know he lives in Pennsylvania?
He has filmed in and around where I live.
One of my companies built his home.
There you go. What is coming out this week? Oh, what's today? Today is
Ted Lasso. New season of Ted Lasso.
Really? American Legend. That prop? On Disney Plus, though, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I believe, starts tomorrow. So I will check that out. And of course,
is that like a Hunger Games?
No, it's a Marvel thing. I know. You'll have.
Let me ask you a question. The Falcon and the Summoner, where does that lay in the Marvel universe?
I haven't watched the show yet, so I need to see where exactly it falls in the MCU timeline.
Now, will there be references to Nick Fury?
Probably, I would guess.
Will there be references to the Zack Snyder Justice League for hours?
I don't believe there will be, since that is DC and not Marvel. But yes, the Snyder Cut is now available on HBO Max.
Okay, can we set aside a time? I know 4 hours out of your life, you're very busy underworking, but can we set aside 4 hours on a weekend that we can watch it together, similar to what we did with the boxing, where we had the a Zoom room where we're watching, where we can chat to each other.
I don't know that I can watch the entire thing in one sitting.
Oh, that's the only way to watch it is to watch a four-hour. Yes.
Is it?
You start at like 2 o'clock on an afternoon and you're done by six.
The New York Post review of it said it still sucks and now it's 4 hours long.
How good can it be? It's DC.
It's hard to say. I mean, it's got to be better. I mean, the original Justice League stunk, so it might be better, but at 4 hours, that is quite the commitment you want me to get.
Nothing is 4 hours. Not even Woody versus Mia warranted 4 hours.
You know what we'll be watching this weekend, Brian? March Madness. That's right. NCAA men's basketball tournament tips off tomorrow, I believe.
Kobe!
Four games.
There were four games today.
They were playing.
That's okay. Cool. No, they're not bullshit. It's the two. It's four. No, it's four eight games, of the lowest. Games. No, there were four games today.
I think you might be on. Maybe I don't know.
Or two games. No, I think there were four today. I believe there were four games today. One was at 5, 6, 8, and 10. To get in, but this is March Madness, people. This, you know, the players, the teams are in a bubble. COVID is not going to be a factor. There is aggressive testing.
Even though there was a bunch of teams that didn't make it in because of the COVID.
Come on, Ron. I'm hyping America here.
All right.
But yes, 64 teams show up. They play the tournament. Only one team leaves. America, it's the time of year where America embraces the pureness of college athleticism, without sports being sullied by money, by financial profit, the obsession of it.
Well, so we are, as we often do, wagering. We both have a bracket put together. Once the tournament started, we'll be able to share the bracket with you folks out there if you're interested. So we have a little side wager for the bracket.
I think the term you're looking for is exactly a side wager. And you know us, you know, it can't just be something straightforward. There's got to be a tie-in of some type. Ron, would you like to tell people what we are wagering for whomever has a better bracket this year?
All right. So as you know, we are big on Penny Stock, Labor Smart, trading under LTNC. And so come April 5th, that is the national championship game. Whoever ends up with the winning bracket, the other person will have to purchase them 200 shares of Labor Smart stock at whatever the market price is on April 6th.
And so, right now, what is Labor Smart's value?
It is trading at about 2.5 cents right now.
So in theory, we're talking about close to $50 based on today's value.
No, I think we're talking about $5.
Really?
Yes. Did you not?
I did my math wrong. I did the math wrong.
Are you saying you wanted it to be 2,000 shares?
Yes.
Okay.
I wanted it to be about $50 based on when we bet.
So then the bet will then be 2,000 shares of Labor Smart, currently trading at 2.5 cents. I mean, yes, you can run numbers.
No, I just did it in my head. Clearly, I did the numbers wrong. I have a question. Did you really make me a bet for $5?
Well, I thought the 200 shares was incredibly low, but I was like, all right, maybe Brian feels it'll be closer to like a quarter by the time
the
tournament's done.
That's mental. I'm so stupid. I did the math wrong. No, I want it to be 2,000 shares, or I want it to be like whatever the equivalent right now of 2,000 shares is $50.
Yes, roughly.
Okay. So then whomever has the best bracket will be reimbursed for purchasing 2,000 shares of Labor Smart. Now, you loyal listeners, viewers, friends, family,
compatriots,
you can actually make this bet more damaging by buying lots of shares of Labor Smart. It's literally less than 2.5 cents per share. Buy a couple million shares. Drive the price of this stock up so that at the end of the NCAA tournament, it's going to hurt whomever lost. Like, if we can get the stock up to like $1 a share, it's going to really hurt Ron.
It's painful. Gonna be very
so painful for you to have to buy me 2,000 shares.
Anything else this week, Brian?
Are we not talking stonks?
I don't really have anything. You know, it's been a relatively quiet week.
You're gonna call it a quiet week since last week?
Holding our positions where we've been. So I don't think that I haven't gotten out of any stocks that we were.
I believe we've had four bruising days.
No.
We had one good day, but we had four bruising. I think I lost like.
Today was the worst day.
I think I lost about 3% of my stock values today.
But you didn't sell, so you didn't lose anything, Brian.
The value of what I have is 3% less than it was before. We're talking like, you know. I mean, I'm not trying to brag or whatnot, but several hundred dollars.
Well, I guess you just really need to buckle down and hope that this bracket you've put together is a winner.
Tissue hands.
All right. Anything else apart from not talking about stonks?
Celebrity deaths.
Oh, that's right. We lost
some big names this week.
Let's see. We lost Yaphet Kotto, Bond Villain. Kotto,
19 Kotto. Points. Yaphet Kotto, Bond villain, Starve Alien.
We lost John Magafulu, Tasmanian president, elected as an agent of reform, passing away at age 61 from COVID, I believe.
Despite the fact that he was a denier of COVID and the threats to COVID in his country. Fuck him. I'm glad he's dead.
Texas rapper Obi Noir fatally shot after being chased down.
Oddly, not related to OB Trice.
No?
No.
You think so. And the Amityville horror killer, Ronald DeFeo, dies in prison at the age of 69.
Nice.
Did you mention Marvin Hagler?
Well, I was saving him for last.
Sorry.
This was kind of a shock. Age 66, legendary boxer, Marvelous Marvin Hagler. One of the all-time greatest boxers. I remember him and Sugar Ray Leonard in their series of fights. That was that's when boxing was boxing, Brian.
Yeah.
I just because I
mean, no. Anyway. But those are Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran, Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard. That was when boxing was actually fun. And I know that, you know, I hate to be cheap about it all, but that was when boxing was, you know, and top tier boxing was available to the masses. You could watch a fight between Sugar Ray and Marvin Hagler on ABC.
Right.
They would show it. Now you would need, now you need to spend $99 on a pay-per-view.
Right.
And I think that's really damaged the sport because a lot of its fans are not paying for the pay-per-view, which has caused them to drive up the price of it to make their dollar. But it really has become a sport for wealthy people to follow.
All right. Well, we've covered a lot tonight, Brian.
Okay. Do we want to talk about the Philadelphia Masturbator, or do we want to save that for After Dark?
I think now we need to push that one to the After Dark episode, which, as you know, longtime listeners, if you are a member of our Patreon, you get to join us for After Dark. So we will carry that story over along with a number of other sexy, sexy stories that we say
a lot of OnlyFans
for After Dark.
A lot of OnlyFans, people.
Lots of OnlyFans, some porn on there. It's going to be hot as usual. And we're just a week away from another After Dark pajama party where we let our Patreon subscribers come on and join us live on the After Dark. So if you want to get in on the action, visit ronandbrianpodcast.com. In the upper right-hand corner, there is a link for you to become a patron. Join us at the bronze level or higher to get access to the live After Dark special, which will kick off in about 18 minutes.
Ooh, it's going to be a good one.
Brian, anything else before we head on out?
Nah, this was a great episode. I've had a rough week emotionally, and I really needed this. So I want to say thank you for providing me the outlet and for 72 minutes, I was able to forget all my problems.
All right. Well, thanks to all of our listeners for joining in. For our Patreon fans, we will see you after dark.